Tonight, this is one of those somewhat weird services where you know you're going to get the opportunity to open the scriptures and talk about our Lord, but you also know that you're going to get some daggers if you don't make it quick. And so I am going to try, and yet we're still at least going to note three observations to remember on Christmas.
Just three.
It's only going to be three. I'm not very smart overall, and so these aren't supposed to be things that are going to knock your socks off. But yet, if we don't remember them, if we don't go back to, in a sense, a childlike faith, then we will pass over Christmas in a way that is not honoring to our Lord and Savior. So tonight we're going to talk about the fact that Jesus came into the world, that Jesus came to save sinners, and that Jesus can save anyone. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for the goodness of who you are. I thank you for the opportunity to gather together as believers and as people and be reminded of when our salvation took breath, when our salvation came to this earth. When we had hope, when your promises were fulfilled in him. God, I pray that you would open our minds again, open our hearts again to hear the beauty of Jesus, and that we would fall deeper in love with him in light of how he has loved us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I want us to look today just really at one verse. In 1 Timothy 1, it's not even one verse, it's half of a verse. That was the only way I could keep this short. So I didn't expect you to bring Bibles today, and so I put the verse up there for you. But keep in mind, I'm not going to do this ever again. But the verse says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. Now, the Apostle Paul is not directly speaking of Christmas or the Nativity or anything around that subject here, but he is speaking of Christ. And he does make these three points that I think help us to understand, in a sense, the beauty and the simplicity of how we should celebrate and be filled with joy at Christmas. So the first thing is that Jesus came into the world. Now, that might sound like an obvious statement, since most everyone knows that the Christmas is the time that we celebrate Jesus, the birth of Jesus, I should say. But still, this point needs to be remembered. Jesus came into the world. Now, this might sound simplistic, but it really isn't. Maybe I should say it this way. Jesus came into this world. Consider for a moment where Jesus is from. He left the throne room of heaven to come here. And not just here, but first century here. He came from a place where he was worshipped by everyone to a place where no one had room for his birth. I love the old story told in Genesis 11. The people of earth wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to be known, even in the implications, even in the heavens. And so they built a tower that was to reach up to the heavens. And after all of their work and all of their toil and all of their energy and their creativity and their willpower, Moses uses this wonderful play on words to tell us that God had to look down to see them. The point is that there is an eternal difference between us and God. And there is an eternal difference between our world and his dwelling. And yet, Jesus came into this world. The second thing that I want us to note from this verse is that Jesus came to save sinners. Look, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I was made the mistake of spending a little bit of time on the internet today, and I came across this article by a pastor in a church downstate, and he the title of the article was Jesus Christ Came to Save Sinners.
how we've got the Christmas story all wrong. And he went in his article and talked about using Scripture in a very perverse way to make the point that Jesus didn't come to die for our sins. He didn't come in any way, shape, or form because God's not mad at us. There's no sin that needs to be atoned for. God is a God of love and grace, and so there's no reason for him to die. Jesus came to show us what it means to live like God. Sometimes I think that a simple statement like Jesus came to save sinners doesn't need to be said anymore. But it does. And just so that we're all clear, I didn't say it. The Apostle Paul said it through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus left the throne room of heaven, and he came into this world, took on humanity, was born as a baby, not for kicks, not as a vacation, not just to try something new, but because we needed him. He came to save sinners. Listen to what the angels told to Joseph, or the angel told to Joseph in Matthew 1:21. You will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Or in Luke 2:11, he said to the shepherds, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. The only way that Jesus could redeem us is if he came and lived a perfect life. If he fully obeyed the law of God in its entirety, only then could he sacrifice himself on our behalf. Jesus came to save. But this can really only be understood if we acknowledge that we are each in need of saving. Consider for a moment this Christmas what life and eternity would be for you if Jesus had not come to save sinners. The point that I want to make here is that salvation is needed for everyone because everyone is lost. Everyone is enslaved to their sin and unable to free themselves. All of us are sinners apart from God's grace. All of us have offended and rebelled against the eternally sovereign Creator God. And thus, none of us are innocent. None of us have peace with God. Paul says in Romans that we are enemies of God apart from Christ. We are each condemned in our sin before God and rightly deserved the full weight of his eternal wrath. Yet God in love sent Jesus, who willingly came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to save sinners. The third thing that we need to note, Jesus can save anyone. Notice what the Apostle Paul says about himself in this text. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That makes me feel really uncomfortable. Because if the Apostle Paul said that, what chance is there for you and me? Do you really think that you have loved and obeyed God better with your life than the Apostle Paul? If he is the worst, then we are in deep trouble. The point here that needs to be remembered is that the reach of Jesus' saving grace can meet anyone. That no one is beyond his reach. That no one can out-sin the grace of God. If you would believe in him and commit to him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. As will anyone else who does the same. For the blood of Jesus is pure enough to redeem any sinner. Friends, if you think that your sin has disqualified you from God's grace, then although you properly understand the nature of your sin, you don't understand the nature of Jesus' work. For his sacrifice is sufficient to save any and all who call out to him in faith. So three observations that I want you to try, and that my son will get a dollar if he can recite them to me later, to try to remember at Christmas. The first, Jesus came into the world. We didn't get to him. We didn't earn the opportunity to be with him. He came to us. This Christmas, thank him for coming here to us because we couldn't get to him. Jesus came to save sinners. All of us are in the need of a Savior. This Christmas, thank him for saving you, or believe in him for salvation and rejoice in that gift above all others. For this gift alone is priceless. This gift alone is, as the Apostle Paul says in another place, indescribable. Jesus came into the world. Jesus came to save sinners. And Jesus can save anyone. No one is beyond the reach of God's grace and mercy. This Christmas, trust that he can forgive you. And proclaim the sufficient means of forgiveness through his Son to all and any who despair. Remind them that God's holy arm through Jesus can save even them. And let those of us who have already been saved rejoice and praise our God for his willingness to come here to save us. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for the goodness of who you are, for what you have done and what you have given us. God, I pray that you would remind, I should say, open the eyes of all those who do not know you. That you would remind them that there is no eternal value. There is no lasting joy to come from gifts, because we always need more every year. We know this. We know that nothing gives the peace that we truly long for, except you. For you alone can make us whole. You alone can give us life. You alone can give us forgiveness through the work of your Son paying our debt. You alone can give us hope and a future. God, I pray that you would humble anyone here who thinks that they have out-sinned the grace of God. And even though all of us are sinners and all of us deserve your eternal wrath, even the worst among us is not worse than the greatness of Jesus. His arm is always strong enough and long enough to reach the lost. God, I pray that you would convict them of that. And Father, for all those who are saved, Father, let us rejoice in Christmas. Let us rejoice in the birth of our Savior. And let us praise him and thank him. Let us be grateful for what we have, and let that remind us of how we have been loved. And let us then love in response. Love you with obedience and faithfulness, and proclaim your love to the world. God, we thank you. We thank you for coming here. We thank you for coming to save sinners. We thank you that you could save the Apostle Paul, and me, and so many others. God, let us never lose sight of the beauty of the salvation that you give us in Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith, in Jesus.
Let's read this together in unison. All glory to the Father, and glory to the Son. Glory to the Holy Spirit. Evil is undone. This tiny child, though undefiled, has borne our sin and pain. Yet though he died, the crucified has come to life again. And death has been defeated, and tears are wiped away. The lonely night of sadness gives way to endless day. So let all people praise him. Let heaven and nature sing. Let every bell ring out to tell the one who is our King. All